Grace to you and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation is from our gospel lesson from Mark chapter 1. And they were amazed, so they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. This is our text. One of the unique differences between the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, and other churches is our belief that the authority of the church rests in the congregation. So while we walk together with our synod, the authority of the church still rests right here in the congregation at Trinity. And so that means that we call our own pastors and teachers. We decide our own worship times. We decide what programs we run, and we decide what building projects we embark on. Now, the Senate is there to support us. They train and teach our pastors and teachers. They run our centers of higher education, like our colleges and our seminaries. They support and maintain Concordia Publishing House, which supplies us with teaching and reading, devotional and other materials. But when it comes right down to it, the authority in the church rests in the congregation here at Trinity. I bring this up because studies show that it takes between 5 and 7 years for a congregation and a pastor to start to work together effectively. And so what you see in other church bodies is that the church body and not the congregation is responsible for moving pastors around. And sometimes they do that as quickly as every 3 to 5 years, meaning that they never really develop a relationship together. They never really work together effectively. And so we are fortunate at Trinity that our pastors and our teachers have long tenures. We have only had 6 pastors ever serve here at Trinity in our 113-year history. The shortest pastorate was a mere 10 years long. Otherwise, every single pastor has retired from here. And what that means is that the members of Trinity here treat their ministers and their teachers very, very well. You have a very high respect for the ministry, and you appreciate the work that your ministers do. And we, as your ministers, greatly appreciate that. This month marks my 29th year here at Trinity, and yet Pastor Eastman, our founding pastor, Pastor Jane, and Pastor Heinert have all served here much, much longer than I have. In great contrast to that, we see Jesus as he is preaching in Capernaum in our gospel lesson for today. Jesus had just begun his public ministry. And according to the Gospel of Mark, this is Jesus' very first public sermon. So if you page through the Gospel, the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, you'll see that Mark begins with John the Baptist preparing the way. He then moves to the baptism of Jesus and Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. After Jesus returns from that temptation for 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus calls his first disciples. And then in that very first chapter of Matthew, of Mark, we have our text for today where Jesus preaches his very first public sermon in Capernaum. Unfortunately, Mark doesn't tell us what the content of Jesus' sermon was. Chances are, as we look at the other Gospels, his message was probably very much the same. The kingdom of God is at hand. That was his message. But Mark does share with us that as Jesus is in the synagogue, his sermon is interrupted by a man who was possessed by an unclean spirit. Thankfully, that's never happened to you or I. We've had distractions, but no unclean spirits speaking out in the middle of our message. You know, I can't share with you that I do have this reoccurring nightmare that I'm up here in the pulpit preaching, and everyone, and I mean everyone sitting in the pews, is talking amongst themselves. I am preaching and preaching and preaching, and absolutely nobody is listening. To the point that I finally get upset, I storm out of the pulpit, I slam the door, and worship is abruptly stopped. But that's just a dream. Jesus really has an unclean spirit cry out. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. It's remarkable that the spirit knows exactly who Jesus is. This unclean spirit knows its creator. But it doesn't know why Jesus is there. He doesn't know that Jesus is there to redeem the world. But Jesus doesn't want the people to know who he is from such a despicable source. And so he tells the spirit to be silent and come out of the man, which he does. And the crowd is totally amazed. I mean, who wouldn't be? The takeaway is the authority by which Jesus does everything. The authority that he preaches with. Even with his very first public sermon, he acts in authority in casting out that demon. Everything Jesus does is with authority. You know, by contrast, you know, I don't even remember my very first sermon. It was probably delivered in a classroom with great nervousness at our Fort Wayne Seminary. And again, I don't remember my first public sermon either. It was probably delivered at my home congregation just outside of Detroit. And while I don't remember the content, I am pretty sure that I was filled with a whole lot of fear and nervousness. But Jesus doesn't seem to have any of that. While I probably had a few people telling me that I did a good job for my first sermon, you know, he didn't go to college for 4 years and then to seminary for another 4 years to be trained for the ministry. Jesus was raised in the small town of Nazareth, trained as a carpenter like his father, baptized by the Holy Spirit by John the Baptist at the Jordan, and he spent 40 days in the wilderness being tempted by Satan, the father of lies himself. And then he begins preaching, just like that. That was Jesus' background. That was his whole training. And yet, because he was the Christ, because he was and is the Son of God, because he is God in the flesh, He preached and taught with authority that I never will. When you are the Word made flesh, and when you are the Creator of the world, your word carries so much more authority. Your actions carry so much more authority because you are the authority. And we know the world today, doesn't like authority. Each person wants to be their own authority and make up their own rules. The world believes that no one has the right to tell them what to do and not to do. And to my personal opinion, that's the biggest problem in the world today. That the world has forgotten who has the authority. They have forgotten the one true God. They have forgotten their Creator. Well, Jesus shows us from the very beginning of his ministry that he is the Creator. Jesus shows us from the very beginning that he and he alone has the authority. He has the authority to preach, and he has the authority to cast out demons, and he has the authority to heal. And so during this season of Epiphany, this season of revelation, this season of making things manifest, the season of Epiphany reveals to us the divinity and the authority of Jesus. The season of Epiphany shows us who Jesus is and what his mission is. And the very first thing that Mark chooses to show us is Jesus' authority. And I think that's of great comfort for us to know that Jesus is in charge, not the world. It is great comfort for us to know that with everything going on in the world, with everything that the world is telling us, that it is God who really is in control. And that is of great comfort. You know, when you've got 5 broken ribs and you are in constant pain, it is great comfort to know that God is the authority and is in control. And when you're suffering through relationship problems in your life, it is so comforting to know that God is in control and he has the authority. When you've got financial problems, when you've got employment problems, no matter what problem it is that you have in life, it is so comforting to know that God is the authority and that he ultimately is in control of your life. He alone makes the rules, and he alone can offer comfort when life isn't going your way. God is the Creator. God is the authority. And so when God sent his Son to die on the cross, because he did, we have eternal life. With God's authority, he has forgiven us all of our sins and granted us eternal life. And contrary to what the world believes, we are not a byproduct of chance. We are the creation of a very loving God. And because of that love, because of the authority that comes from creating the world, we have eternal life. And so when God's Son dies on the cross and raises from the dead and tells you that your sins are forgiven, they are forgiven. And when God declares that you are forgiven all your sins, you are forgiven of all of your sins. And when God says that you have eternal life because of his authority, you have eternal life. Very true. By nature, we try to buck authority at every corner. But God's authority is not something that we can or should avoid. On the contrary, it is a great blessing that our loving God is the one and only real authority who declares to us, you have eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts.